G'day everyone, welcome to the Siren Sound Off, where I, Philip,
and I, Dwayne,
we're going to discuss our impressions of the latest story to appear on TV. Now, we haven't actually done this much before. As you know, we, on the whole, look after the whole audio medium, but a number of people have said to us that they'd love to know our opinions on the latest shows. But as you know, we like to be positive. So generally speaking, 80, 90% of the time, we try to find the positive in different shows. And we did start trying and thinking about doing this for The Flux, but we must admit we were struggling to be positive enough about that. And
we got about three episodes in.
And Dwayne and I, we were very positive about all the Big Finish stories coming out. To us, they were the better stories. And so we just decided we'll just let the Jodie era end. We know that lots of people love it, and that's fantastic. That's the thing about Doctor Who. People love different things. But we just decided we couldn't be positive enough about that era. So we decided not to do hot takes about that and these sort of sound-offs. But we are going to do sound-offs this time because we're feeling confident that we're going to get a lot more positive things to say. And certainly, already with the first impressions, Dwayne, I haven't spoken about this, but I'm thinking, what I know about Dwayne, I'm thinking he's going to be positive about it. I'm certainly going to be positive about it. But before that, just to know what to expect, there will be spoilers. So make sure you've watched the episode. And also expect, these are just our raw views. I mean, I have watched it twice. I've managed to watch it actually with different family members. And so I might actually pull in what they thought at the same time. Dwayne, I think you've only watched it once.
I watched it once very, very early this morning because I'm in Western Australia. So it was about 4:30 this morning. And
right.
A very big day. So
that is a big
so
day.
I'll try and go back to all those hours and hours ago.
That's fantastic. Now, of course, this has been a big week. And it's not only been the Starbeast that's been released. Before the Starbeast was released, we also had two other major things released. And I thought just before we jump into the Starbeast, let's just review quickly. First, the Children in Need special, which I think was called, was it Return to Skaro? Is that the title?
I think it was Destination Skaro.
Destination Skaro. So there was a special five-minute skit done for Children in Need. What did you think about that skit, Dwayne?
I thought it was funny. I thought it was fine. It took me a couple of seconds to work out what was going on with I didn't click with me instantly that was Davros there, but you know, it took a few seconds. And it obviously it's Children in Need, so I wasn't taking it overly seriously. And it gave me a bit of a chuckle and it was fine. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. I realized it was Julian Bleach straight away because we've seen Julian Bleach without makeup in both Sarah Jane Adventures and Torchwood. And so yeah. I recognized him straight away. And just as the way he came in, I went, oh, it's Davros. And I was immediately in the feel of it. I thought it was very funny. The number of jokes. I've been lots of negatives on the internet. So many precious people about, you know, the sink plunger and, you know, the doctor giving the Daleks their name. It was all tongue-in-cheek. It was all a heap of fun. I loved it. I had no issues when I watched it in terms of it was obviously an earlier time period. I mean, there was a bit of continuity issues because we do see the Mark III travel machine in Genesis of the Daleks. And at that point, Davros is in his life support system.
And so I didn't think anything of that at the time. I wasn't thinking continuity. I wasn't thinking too heavily about it at the time. Let me put it
that way. I didn't care. And to make that perfect, the final joke in the whole skit was when Davros sees the sink plunger and goes, I like it. And of course, if he had the makeup on, if he'd been with the mask on, it wouldn't have worked. And so for the very fact
you're actually right there.
Yeah, so to make the joke work, it was perfect. So yeah, okay, so both of us love the skit. I've watched it several times. I laugh and I've shown it to several people. They all laugh too. However, slightly controversially, we both know, and I see you're smiling already, Russell T. Davis decided to release a video telling us why Davros wasn't in the chair. Now, for me, he was in the chair because of the continuity, because it was a pre-accident time. I didn't need to hear the reasonings, but Russell gave us reasonings. What did you think of the reasonings, Dwayne?
Okay, so I just instantly started thinking of Graham Chapman coming on in his, you know, his soldier's uniform going, this is all very silly. Hearing that explanation, I didn't even come across it organically. I came across it through a YouTube review. I thought, oh yeah, I'll see what other people are saying about it. And the first thing they played was that clip of Russell T Davies, and I just thought, what is this? I thought it was utterly ridiculous to think that Davros was a wheelchair user. I've never ever considered Davros to be a wheelchair user, and I feel for anyone who would put themselves in that situation and feel. I don't think anyone would feel that they were being viewed as an evil person just because they are a wheelchair user and Davros was a wheelchair user. I think that whole reasoning is completely ridiculous, and to be honest, it made me very nervous for what was to come in the forthcoming series. And I thought, oh, if this is the direction they're going, I just think there was more that focus on the ideology than the story. Not that the Children in Need special was a story, as we said, it was a skit, but it just worried me that the way Russell was coming across, it did worry me a lot. So that's, and I thought it was silly. I just thought it was really silly.
I do believe we need to take care in terms of how we represent people, and views have changed in terms of, we don't black up actors anymore. We don't yellow up actors anymore. Things have been done in the past that aren't right. And we should be considering in terms of, have we abused disabled people and viewed them in a particular way? And I don't think it's a bad conversation to have. I actually think Doctor Who, the first wheelchair user in Doctor Who was a hero, Dortmund in Dalek Invasion of Earth, who saved
Written by
Barbara.
The same author.
Yes, also written by the same author, Terry Nation. That's right. And in fact, the people who have most abused, if you're going to use, you know, life support systems, wheelchair users, I mean, Russell Gimnas too, in terms of Max Coppercone, in the Titanic episode, and also with the Cyberman character too. He'd done, I'm not sure how they used, because I'm just thinking of all the wheelchair users. There's another couple that I know Russell had done. It's interesting that
I think the Cyberman one was done out of necessity because I think he was ill, wasn't he? That actor.
I think that might be the case, but it's just in terms of, I do feel for Russell because I do think it was an important discussion to have. I don't think we needed to know about it, and I don't think it was helpful for us to know about it because it actually exploded on both sides. There was the whole anti-woke thing, and can I say people just throw out the term woke so easily without knowing what it means. And it's really just a way of labeling something without looking at the issues. And I think just to say, call something woke without saying, well, what are the issues behind it, is just lazy. And so I don't like that. But it also, it offended the disabled people because he is an ableist man telling them what they should and shouldn't be doing. And every actor, how many actors have we spoken to in this program who say the parts they love to play is the baddies? That, you know, they're longing to play those roles because all those roles are more interesting to play, and you do look at, yes, it's true, Shakespeare did use, you know, make disabled people's baddies, but they're the roles that all the best actors want to play, and to allow disabled people opportunities to play those roles and all those things. So I don't have an issue with the fact that they discussed it, and should they be finding positive role models for disabled people? Yes, of course they should, and we're going to discuss in a moment they've done that. You know, let's put in more positive models and roles, you know, role models for all sorts of diverse people. Of course we should. But for goodness sake, reinventing something that happened 45 years ago, it to me, it was ridiculous, is the word you used. I know disabled people were offended by it. And then the ultra, you know, wacky, woke, you know, anti-woke people just did their nana at it. So all up, it just backfired really badly, which is a shame because the skit itself was a lot of fun. And it's just a shame that those comments happened. I do think it's probably well-meaning, but it just really backfired. Anyhow, second piece that came out this week, we should move to, is the Daleks in Colour. What were your impressions of the Daleks in Colour, Dwayne? Because once again, this has received a lot of mixed reviews as well.
I was really looking forward to this because, as you know, I'm a fan of animation, so reconstructing old stories. I like the reasoning behind it, getting to a younger audience, because I can't imagine my kids sitting through 7 episodes, particularly not in one go. So I was really looking forward to this, and I was excited the way it started. They changed the music slightly, so there's a bit of a sting at the start of the music, and I love the way that started and got into it. There was a little bit of black and white at the start. I'm thinking, why are they sort of using the black and white in the start to sort of transition to the color. I didn't understand why that was necessary, but it, whatever. I wasn't fazed at that stage. So the first half was, I was really enjoying, and I was enjoying the edits. It was a bit slower paced. I could tell that some of those additional Dalek lines were brought in. Nick Briggs was coming in and putting some additional Dalek lines, and I thought, yeah, well, they're doing that for exposition to hurry the story along. So that made sense that they were doing that. I know it's received some criticism because of that, but that doesn't worry me. But in the second half, in particular, the cuts started getting really strange and really fast, and it was very hard to follow. But what made it hardest to follow for me of all was the music. It was so overpowering. It was so in your face. And because it was all the cuts were going fast and the music was going over the top, it was like making my head spin. So I don't know how anyone could watch that and make sense of it if they'd never seen it before. And I think it's a bit of a missed opportunity, if you ask me.
I do think it made sense. I loved the color. I thought the colorization was beautiful. And as much as I know that Barbara was wearing blue, she wasn't wearing pink in the original story. I don't care about that.
Well, that doesn't
I
bother me.
doesn't bother me. I do think the colorization was done to look like six colors, which I was amused by. They didn't try and make it look like modern colors. It was like a color film of that era, the Technicolor films. I thought that was beautiful. I thought it actually brought a lot of stuff to life. I still love the black and white, don't get me wrong, but as a treat, as something else to watch, that's fine. And it's part of the whinging that's been going on online is how could you destroy the original? They haven't destroyed the original, it's still there. Go and watch it. And part of the reasoning was in terms of, for a younger audience, though, can I just say, if this was put out by Disney would turn the Daleks episode into 7 1 hour, so 10 1 hour episodes where nothing much happened for the first four parts. I mean, look at what Disney's putting out at the moment. It is slow, so slow paced. It is ridiculous that nothing happens for episodes and end. It still manages to be entertaining. So I actually think the pacing of seven episodes in some ways wasn't a problem. And so a lot of the cutting was unnecessary. It was frenetic cutting at the end. That didn't really bother me. The thing that bothered me the most was the flashbacks. That's
Okay.
the fact that something you'd only seen 5 minutes earlier, they had to flash back to and watch it again because they obviously thought the dialogue and the facial acting wasn't good enough to keep you entertained. And to me, that felt like a dumbing down of our child audience. If this is aimed to capture young people, to get them watching earlier stuff, they can manage to watch a bit of dialogue. And the fact that you had to cut back constantly to have something different to be seen every 30 seconds was just, I think, underestimating the audience. And as I said, the extra dialogue I had no problems with. I didn't mind the cuts in terms of how it paced it. As I said, I think an extra 15 or 20 minutes probably would have been good. I think it was a bit short. I was really looking forward to seeing the statue come down the lift and wipe out the people, the Dalek coming up in the lift that got cut. So there's a lot of key moments to
For me,
me.
I think that was one of the most confusing parts, was Ian stuck in the Dalek, the ambush all happening at once. Because it was so slowly done in the original episodes, it was really, I found it really hard to follow that section. That
It's
was.
into the in the original episodes, I've never understood why Ian stands there for so long and says nothing or does nothing. And it's actually only after Ian calls out the Daleks start shooting. And I start wondering, how did Ian actually know it was a trap? Because they've not actually, was he aware that they were playing to, I don't quite know why Ian didn't think that it could not be, might not be a trap. He just, but if he thinks it's a trap, why does he take 20 seconds or 30 seconds just hiding behind a petition before it calls out it's a trap? So that's a fault with the original story, I find, which was exacerbated this time because they
I
kept all
think
those
it's that
scenes in.
they're putting two and two together, because by that stage Susan had returned with the anti-radiation drugs, and they'd worked. She'd reported back that the Thals were actually good when the Daleks were lying to them, saying they were mutations, that kind of thing. So, I think
Yeah, well,
they put two and two together by
maybe.
that stage.
I still don't know why Ian's just stood there, no saying in color, it made it worse. But I will agree, Mark Ayres, I usually love his music. It was over dominating and really
It was
didn't
really
always,
strange.
it didn't hit the mark in terms of tone as well. So, yeah, I think so. In terms of the what pre the Children in Need was a hit, Russell, lot a miss. Daleks was a hit miss for me. There's lots about it. I'd happily watch it again. But in terms of, giving us something different for the anniversary, I was happy with that. Any other comments you want to make about those two programs before we go on?
No, I think I'd like to. The children in need thing. I can leave that. It's all it is a 5 minute skit. So, that doesn't bother me so much. As I've explained why the comments worried me. As far as the Daleks goes, I'd like to watch it again. But I'd like to watch it with my kids and see how they whether it keeps them stuck for the whole time. I would have perhaps liked to have seen it go another 10, 15 minutes. That might have made it a bit more cohesive, I guess. But I'll wait and see what my kids think when I show them. I'll watch it with them over the next week, I reckon.
Good stuff. Okay, let's turn to the Star Beast. And I've got about 10 quick topics I want to just hit through and just get
Okay.
quick impressions. We won't spend too long on each of them. I just want a bit of feedback and we'll just throw it together and see how we felt. So firstly, what was your big first impression of watching the Star Beast?
I started off going into it a little bit trepidatious based on the comments after Children in Need. But I think my fears were quickly allayed because it was a really entertaining story. And by the end of it, I was feeling not how I hoped I would feel, but I wasn't feeling negative, put it that way.
Fantastic. I decided this was probably the most joyous I've felt watching Doctor Who for 10 years. I've been waiting for so long to have a Doctor Who episode, which is just fun. I love the characters, and I was so excited. I wasn't worried about what was going to happen. I know Russell's going to do a good job, and he didn't disappoint at all. And I yeah, fantastic. Great. Okay. Title sequence, what did you think?
Really enjoyed the way it started, but I was a little bit flat by the second half of the title sequence. There's just something not right about it, but I can't, it sort of went a bit static after the brilliance of the opening few seconds.
Okay, I love the whole thing and the TARDIS bursting through clouds. I love the block lettering of David Tennant and Catherine Tate's name. I thought that just looked amazing. The space scene, it captured a bit of the time vortex idea, but then did its own thing as well. I love the new theme. What do you think of the new theme?
Fantastic. Yeah, really
Yeah,
good.
it's really big. Talk about big orchestral, lots of beautiful sounds through it. So yeah, what about the pre-sequence? What did you think about the cold open?
It was interesting, wasn't it? Because the whole way through it was leaving clues as to why the 10th Doctor's face came back, and it sort of started off there in the pre-title sequence. Gave a little bit of a rundown on the Donna, Dr. Donna story from series four. I thought it was fine. I thought it was good.
When you think it's about 14 years or so since the Doctor and Donna were together, you've got a lot of kids who'll be watching this show for the first time. So it was a really quick way to give them an introduction to two characters and to give en enough backstory and exposition that didn't feel forced. So yeah, the doctor, I mean, it was interesting to see him standing on that blue screen. It was a very obvious blue screen effect. They didn't try and hide, him standing on, a flat floor, because just the way his feet looked in the background, it just didn't fit. But being directed, straight to camera, those scenes I thought was really effective and a great way to get lots of information across. How did you find the script in general?
It was very interesting, wasn't it? It was very Russell T, because recently we've listened to the Big Finish adaptation of the story, which sticks quite closely to the comic. This was heavily adapted to fit in with the characters of the 10th Doctor, Donna, Rose, Donna's mum. What's her name?
Sylvia.
Oh, Sylvia. Yeah, Sylvia, of course.
She was hilarious.
But there was a fudge, so I was surprised that there actually was a fudge in the story. So there you go.
It's interesting that in terms of the comic strip that it was based on, the comic strip had more substance and more story in many ways than this did. They actually cut.
Especially in relation to the Meep, because they just had so much introductory stuff they had to get for the Doctor and Donna and all that, and the, you know, establish that part of it. They really quickly dealt with the Meep, and the Meep became involved in the action really quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, but even scenes in terms of the Doctor having the explosion put inside him and the opening the lid to stop the explosion from going off. And well, there was, as I said, it was bizarre that the comic strip, which was, I think, just two episodes, managed to have more plot than this did. Not that I'm saying this is bad because of that, but it was just an interesting cut. I just love how Russell T. writes. I think he's a brilliant writer. He can create an entire world and introduce an entire character in a sentence. And when he is able to just show and not tell, and we've come from a writer who is all about exposition, all about telling us what we need to know. Russell just showed things. And all the way through this script, we just have these little moments of being shown things which tell us the whole story, show us characters, and unpack it, which I just love. What did you think about the humor? What things stood out to you in terms of the humor?
Just that dynamic from series four. We like, I know that's your favorite era since the series came back in 2005, and they were back together just like they had never been apart, really. And it's that dynamic that that is an absolute winner, I think. And I don't know, maybe that's why Russell is using that. But I mean, he says anecdotally that it was Catherine Tate suggesting that they get back one more time, and so he decided to do that. But perhaps there's more method to the madness, you know, bringing back fans like yourself, like ourselves, who were in love with that era of the show, and bringing in new fans as well by adapting an old comic that that's pretty timeless.
Yeah, so my daughter who has moved out came, you know, to our house at 7:30 this morning. My son, who so she's 25, 23, they've been watching it with me since it came back, and so yeah, they couldn't not watch the new episodes with me. So we gathered, got up early in the morning to watch it all, and the three of us were just laughing throughout, like belly laughing at all sorts of things. With just things like the doctor taking the box off Donna and her face appearing and putting the box back again. You had Donna just missing the whole spaceship crashing scene, which in the past we've heard about the fact that she missed everything. She just didn't see it happen. But to actually watch what we've heard about in the past was just, laugh after laugh. Her line about, the skinny suit and the men over 35 just can't get away with it anymore. Just Donna's just back. You've got the whole conversation with Nerys, with the doctor not really knowing what's going on and just changing his story. It just showed so much. How both Catherine and David are just great comedians, and that the comic timing is just spot on all the time. So with a tight script, comic timing, and once again Sylvie Noble, played by who's Sylvia played
Jackie
by?
King.
Jackie King, just magnificent. And once again all her t comic timing, the scene of David looking through the Meep on how cute he comes to the door, she slaps him, and then in comes the father. Every moment is just all about timing, all about character. Heaps of plot, well, not really, but you just don't need it because you just wanted to be in these people's presence, which has made it all the better. Who in the cast stood out to you? What cast members and people stood out?
Well, I talked about being trepidatious before, and I wasn't really a fan of Hebe from Big Finish and the Sixth Doctor companion Hebe, played by Ruth Madley. And knowing that she was in this, I wondered whether I'd like her, and I found that she was one of my favorite characters. I loved her as the scientific advisor to UNIT. I thought she was fantastic,
Yeah, she's much
and
softer than
I
Hebe,
want to
isn't
see her
she?
again. I want to see
Yeah,
her. Oh yeah. Yeah,
I
she was
believe we
actually
are.
likable. She was
Yeah.
actually likable. Hebe wasn't, but this character was. And yeah, looking forward to seeing more of her. If you say she's coming, I believe
I believe
you.
we are. Who else? Anyone for the cast you want to mention stood out to you?
Well, I guess the other person to mention would be
Yep.
Miriam Margolyes
I
as
yep.
the Meep. I did note throughout that not once was he referred to as Beep the Meep. It's only the Meep, only ever the Meep.
Only
So.
the Meep. I mean, in the comic strip, the Meep, as I say, the Meep was asked his the their pron no the pronouns, and he was saying the pronouns are just the meep, which I
Yeah.
thought, yeah, I have no pronouns. My pronouns are just the meep. Don't use pronouns
It's
on
the pronoun is the, and
the.
the doctor says, well, I use that too, so
Yes. Yeah, I think Marilyn Margolis does an amazing job. Cute and cuddly little voice and all sort of almost unrecognizable actually as Miriam at the start until the meep turns bad. And once the meep turns
then
bad,
you know it's her.
then you know it's her without a doubt. It stands out. I mean, I will call out Yasmin Finney as Rose. I think Yasmin Finney I know from Heartstopper as well. An amazing actress. And I think we did a really great job. It was lovely to see Donna's husband back, Carl Collins. I know Carl originally from The Bill. He was in The Bill for several years. And really getting some good lines because in the past, we've sort of seen him in the background. We saw him turn to the master, but actually getting a couple of scenes. And that scene with David Tennant in the taxi was a beautiful scene. And he's a bit naive, but boy, he's lovable. And just, he just loves his wife. He loves his daughter. And the conversation he has with the doctor about, I'm the luckiest man in the world with these two amazing women. And then at the end, back outside the TARDIS, he sort of says, yep, yeah, that's them. Aren't I still lucky? So I just thought those moments were lovely. But all the cast, I thought, did an amazing job. You were concerned, and certainly I was slightly concerned in terms of where they were going to go in terms of the social commentary. We were sort of lectured to a lot in the Chibnall era, and there were certainly a couple of things that came up here. There was a dig about men at the end where they just, as I feel male-facing Time Lord, there was a bit of a dig there about men. Not realizing they could actually just give up this what is it, the Meta Crisis, which is a shame that they didn't realize that 14 years ago. What do you think about that line in terms of was it too much of a dig against men?
I would have to go and watch it again. I'm having only seen it once, I couldn't really say what I was thinking about that because the second half of this story happened really quickly too, just like the Dalek cut happened really quickly. So you had to really watch it carefully. So I'm sure there was plenty of things I missed. You talk on the social commentary, they were talking about, binary and non-binary, and that, he brought that element in from the meta crisis that Donna had back, and that sort of brought into that. And so, but I don't know. I'm still a little bit confused by how all that works: binary, non-binary, trans. I don't understand it all. So, it all sort of went a bit over my head.
Okay. I actually thought all that was actually really nicely handled.
But
Because I
it was
didn't.
incorporating it in the story, so it wasn't in your
Yes.
face. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't
So, yes.
telling us. It wasn't telling us. It was
Showing
showing
us.
us and
And
turning it into the story, which is
yeah.
the beauty of a great storyteller.
Yeah. I actually thought the whole thing was actually quite helpful in terms of, Yasmin Finney is a trans actress. And I was wondering whether or not they would incorporate it into the storyline or not. It didn't be, well, it's interesting. It was important, but it wasn't pushed down our throats. And I thought the way that the original scene in terms of where they call out Jason and give her a kiss, Jason, and that's what they're calling out to her. So obviously her previous identity had been Jason. And it was fascinating watching just Donna be the mother bear and protective and willing to do anything for her daughter. It was also good, I thought, to see the family struggling with it. So the Sylvia is, Sylvia doesn't know how to get it right. And there's just a tiny scene in the kitchen where she misgenders and uses he pronoun on Rose. And she's embarrassed by it, but you can see that they're trying. And so I thought it was actually a really understanding way of saying that, the whole trans issue is hard for people. And people weren't being slammed or attacked for not knowing. As you say, you don't, there's still a lot you don't understand about what's going on there. And I think that's true for a lot of people in our generation, that it is really hard for us to comprehend fully what's going on. And it's easy just to be dismissive and just call it woke. So I think what Russell was trying to do was trying to introduce gently, without preaching at us, these are some of the things that is going on with people. I do think it got a bit too pointed. I do think the whole, oh, what gender are you? And we often don't think about, I mean, we don't, it was meep a he, a she, or, and I'm sure we didn't actually get an answer in the end for that. And it was sort of a bit pointed in terms of that, which I thought was, I do think they've got to be careful with that. And then the other thing, I just said, just I'd be curious. I'm curious to talk to a couple of my trans friends. I don't know whether they watch Doctor Who or not, but the explanation of Rose being trans because she was the Doctor Donna from a male and a female, therefore, that confused her identity. It felt like there was almost a science fiction excuse for why she was trans, and I'm not quite sure how that would necessarily go down in the trans community. And so I
Okay.
plan it at work tomorrow. I plan to have a little chat with one of my friends, and just to say, yeah, I'm not sure if you watch Doctor Who, but how would you feel about a science fiction reason for being trans, which is what they did for Rose, rather than just she was trans. She's trans because she had this meta crisis inside her, which was both Doctor and Donna. And yeah, I'm not sure where they were saying that. I couldn't quite get that on. I'm just curious. And then, of course, the other social commentary area that we've already mentioned is just disability. By having one of the lead characters in a wheelchair, and everything that Russell says he wanted disabled characters to be represented for he did here. Which is why I don't think he needed to do the YouTube clip. He was a character who was, strong, intelligent, loved the weapons inside her wheelchair. That was hilarious. Ruth Madley was sympathetic. The little wave she gives the doctor as he's on the back of the truck and heading off, even though he shouldn't be. And yet she's still dismissive about him, like, no, I haven't been waiting my whole life for you. So different to Osgood, who is this Doctor Who fan, it's, oh, I've been waiting to meet you and I'll get paid more because I've met you. But when he says to her, I bet you've been waiting your whole life to meet me, she goes, no. So that sort of put down, I thought was cleverly done. So anything about else about it?
Just a little line there too, when the soldiers were looking at her waiting to go up the stairs, and she made some little comment like, don't blame your slowness on me, up you go. And
She
just
says,
that little one throwaway line.
don't make me the problem. Don't
What
make
did she say?
me. Don't make me the problem. I wrote that down. So when he says, oh, I'm sorry, there's stairs, she says, don't make me the problem. So she refuses to be the problem. And mind you, it actually saves her, because had she gone up,
It does actually. Yeah,
she would have
'cause
been taken
all
over
the others
too.
got taken over.
Yeah. So the fact she couldn't climb the stairs actually says, but yeah, the whole don't make me your problem, I thought was a very effective line. And once again, we're not being preached at about disability. We're just being shown, and we can sympathize, and we like people.
I
What I
did
can.
also no I did also notice a couple of times the close-ups of the, I don't know whether it was a Muslim guy or a Hindu guy in unit.
Hindu.
With the head
The turban.
Hindu.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
with yeah, so that was shown quite heavily as well.
Yeah. There's a number of
But
nationalities shown.
just there, so fine.
Yeah. I made a note of some of the contrivances. That I mean, and all good stories need contrivances, but the glass panel in the spaceship that bisect the massive hold, you've got to ask, why on earth would that come down? I mean, I know with all the MEEP safety checks about checking this and deadlocking this and divide the hold. Why would a spaceship need a huge glass partition to come down and separate the hold? It made no sense at all. It was needed for the story because the doctor had to, unwipe Donna's mind. But I just sort of go, oh, that was a really huge contrivance. Any other contrivances that you noted?
Not that I can think of, really.
So the other
I
couple got
really,
me.
some of them I really liked. Like I liked the way he set up the two shields when they were firing up the hallway in the house. So he did one shield that way and another shield there, and they got through and up the stairs. I thought that was convenient, but it's a 1 hour episode. They've got to hurry up and get to the next point.
That sonic screwdriver is becoming more and more powerful, though. It now creates screens it can work on. It now does bulletproof shields. Yeah, it's getting impressive. The other couple of things I thought was amusing was all the fault lines that only open down the middle of streets rather than where houses are. I thought
Oh,
that was really good. And they seal
yeah.
themselves fully up as well, too, which I thought was great. And of course, the TARDIS having a coffee machine. Like, I don't think the doctor even drinks coffee. But the fact that they needed the coffee machine for Donna to spill, I just thought, yeah, it's a contrivance. It amused me, but wasn't needed. Anything you want to say about the locations or the sets? Actually, so about the new TARDIS set, what did you think?
Yeah, well, that was the main thing that I was looking forward to, and I thought it was beautiful. I love white. I love the whiteness. It harkens back to the classic era. But it's
Round rules. There's round
immense.
rules.
Yes, it's immense, and got the ramps, and just seeing the doctor running up and down the ramps with joy sort of made me feel like I wanted to run up and down there with joy as well.
Do you really think it's that big? Have they actually built that entire set, or was it digitally somehow enhanced? Do you think that is
I
the, do
don't
you think that's
know.
the set?
I don't know.
It was
Don't
just
know.
unbelievable. I
I
loved it.
I've
Like,
heard it
just
what
amazing.
I've heard it's big. So
But that is huge. Like, just so big. I mean, it was fantastic and I loved it. But I'm just thinking, wow, that's a huge set. I mean, William Hart used to complain about the original TARDIS set that took up half the studio. He'd be furious about this one.
the
Yeah,
studios were
anything else?
smaller in those days too.
Yeah. I mean, the spaceship hold was lovely. Donna's house was lovely. Doctor's new costume? What do you think about the Doctor's new costume, number 14?
Fine, fine. I've got no problems with the costume. It's very, very Tennant. I think it suits him. Yeah, I absolutely have no problem with it. It's good.
Yeah, the Paisley touches, I think, for his showing his Scottish heritage. I thought it was a nice little nod towards Tennant, not the Doctor in this case.
You're really
But
asking me to pay so much attention at 4:30 in the morning to his costume?
oh, I am. But I've got the characters here on my back shelf behind me too, so I'm used to playing with it. Anyways, we'll talk about like the music. How did you find the music?
Music was great. That was hearkening back to some of the early Murray Gold stuff, but it had a different taste about it too. So he was mixing the like his old motifs with something brand new. I enjoyed it. Yeah, well, I love Murray Gold.
Yeah, I love him too. I'm so glad he's back because suddenly the music is now telling a story. I didn't notice it a lot on the first viewing. I was deliberately listening out for it the second time through. I think he's going to make a marvelous album when it comes out. There's a bit of poppy music when the TARDIS first lands. He loves his vocals. I just think it's lovely. And just, yeah, I'm really looking forward to downloading the music when it comes out as an album. Special effects.
I thought the meep was great. Fantastic.
What I thought was amazing was I don't know how much they changed the prop from good Meep to bad Meep, but on the whole, it was mainly just posture. Like the bad Meep, they changed the teeth, so suddenly the Meep had teeth, and the eye shape changed. But then the ears, just rather than he was always cowering at the beginning, but by the time when he went bad, everything was opened up, and
Yep.
so ju just that change of posture, and then with the change of eye shape and the teeth, suddenly the cute, cuddly Meep of the beginning was actually not cute and cuddly anymore. And you can
I don't know
imagine
if it
good.
was CGI on the lips, but I'm surely it was CGI because it was too good to be animatronic, I think. So,
Well, there was two animatronic people listed in the credits.
all
So
right.
there obviously was an animatronic Meep as well. And I'm trying to
Right.
work out how they walked as well. What things that you see they're planting for the future? What do you notice? What are you
Well,
waiting for?
the meep dropping that little line about wait till my boss hears about this. I'm thinking, oh, the boss is the toy maker, or maybe it's
Or
Dolph
someone
Bolter. I
else.
don't. Yeah, I don't
Who?
know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
Yeah.
don't
So
know.
we are waiting to see whether who the boss is and whether the boss will appear for Tennant or not to shooty. That could be interesting. Anything else? Future? Set up?
You tell me because you've seen it more than me. So,
Well, I think the question kept being asked I think 3 or 4 times, why this face?
oh,
So
yes.
why is the Doctor regenerated back to the old face? We don't know that yet. Aside from the fact that we know that David Tennant is the most popular Doctor and Russell T Davies want to get all the old fans back, what is the in-plot reason for why they've turned David Tennant back? It set up the meeting between the Doctor and Wilf at some point, which I can't wait to see Bernard Cribbins back. We know he was on set, and we've seen shots of him at the read-through, so I'm very excited about Wilf. And of course, the beginning is where, yeah, the cliffhanger is where's the TARDIS going to end up? That it could go anywhere. And certainly, you know, or we know nothing really about the next episode at all.
Which
We
is
know there's
great.
a robot. I get the feeling it's weird and terrifying. So you know how Russell had always set up his seasons where the first episode was fun and fairly lighthearted and easygoing, and it gets progressively darker. I think we're going to see in 3 shows that we're going to see that progress. And so I think we're going to dive into darkness next week. It's just I showed my 14-year-old son has not been interested in watching Doctor Who at all, and I forced him to watch this one, and he loved it, which was just so exciting to see that he was actually, enjoying Doctor Who, which is marvelous. He loved Meep, so I was a bit worried. A few people talk about the fact, oh, unbelievable. I think as older people, we often lose what children love about things. And he was saying, oh, the Meep's the best Doctor Who monster ever. So he was just so carried away by all sorts of things. And yeah, so all my
Wow.
kids have watched it now and all loved it for different reasons and laughed at different points. So the second time I watched it with Ben, who was 14, and my wife and another child. They were all laughing at different points to when the three of us this morning were laughing at. So it was interesting that different things captured different people. So it was really, it was a family viewing thing, which I just loved. Any last comments you want to make?
Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah,
I
you know
like
what?
this
I
not knowing much about it. It's going to be a nice surprise when it comes.
It is. Listen, Dwayne, it's been great to talk to you about this. Great to share our thoughts and feelings. Great to be really positive about what's going on. Looking forward, guys. If you want to make throw in comments as well, we'd love to hear what you thought as well. And I'm looking forward to hearing some other people too, and all the different takes happening around the place. As I said,
Actually, let us know what you thought of the Star Beast, and we'll read them out on our next episode when we talk about the Wild Blue Yonder.
We'll read out any comments that you happen to make. Listen, thank you, Dwayne, for your time. It's been fun. Thanks for leaving your holiday to join me. And everyone else, thank you for your time as well. Have a good evening.